welcome everybody River Valley this weekend as well. If you're joining us online, thank you for worshiping with us. We're so glad that you're with us. And we are doing a standalone message this weekend. Often we'll have a standalone message in between teaching series, and the topic may be something that's on Pastor Rob's heart or our elder's heart, something that we want to share with the church family. And we just finished a great series, Dangerous Prayers, our summer teaching series. It's online. It will be a incredible blessing. If you missed any weeks, encourage other people. Every weekend of that series was amazing. Next weekend, we start Reclaimed. It's our fall launch series. Pastor Rob will be here to launch the series. You don't want to miss it. This weekend, our topic that we're looking at is the topic of gratitude. We're talking about gratitude. And I'm going to tell you, it's such a great topic. It's a powerful topic. You're not here by accident. Can I tell you that every single one of us, God has something special that he wants to share with us. He wants to speak something into our lives. So even though it's a topic that feels warm and it's joyful, it's exciting, it is, but there's also a challenge component to this message where God's going to kind of challenge us. Jesus is going to rock our world a little bit. And so I believe it's going to be an incredible blessing. And when we think of the topic of gratitude, can I tell you, it's really easy to talk about this at our church. Because how many of you know that we as a church are blessed in so many ways, aren't we? Come on, we are blessed in so many ways. The list is long. I mean, just last weekend, if you were able to be at our Apple Valley services, or you're at three of our six Minnesota campuses, we did water baptisms. And we baptized 101 people just last weekend in water. Come on, church, is that exciting or what? I mean, that's amazing. That's so good. I mean, 101 people got water baptized just last weekend saying, I want the world to know that my life belongs to Jesus Christ. We are blessed. Same weekend, just last weekend, we gave an invitation for people to accept Christ. And just last weekend, 121 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ here at River Valley Church. Come on, that's so good. We could go on and on and on and talk about all the incredible things. And this topic of gratitude is so important because sometimes culture fights against it a little bit. How many of us know that consumerism is strong in our culture, in our world today? It is. That we all, a lot of us want the newer, the better, the upgraded. We want the newest, the fastest, all that kind of stuff. And it's just part of it. It's just part of the desire. It's part of what marketing tells us, what our world tells us, what culture tells us. I mean, a lot of us like, how many like upgrades? I like upgrades. I really do. I'm not going to wait in line for a phone outside, but I like upgrades. And when I think about how things get better and better, and they have over the last number of years, and the different upgrades that we like in our lives, I started thinking about it for this message. And I thought, man, I came up with so many different things that have gotten so much better. So I wanted to narrow it down just to get our thought process going a little bit. And I have the opportunity to travel a fair amount. A lot of times I'm traveling for global trips or ministry opportunities or something like that. But so I travel quite a bit. So I'm going to narrow some of the thankful things, the things I'm grateful for, the upgrades into just the traveling area and getting to airports. And I'm going to summarize it. I am thankful for motion sensored. Okay? I'm thankful for motion sensored. I'm thankful that when I pull up to the airport, I got my arms full. I walk up to that door and it just opens in front of me. I am so thankful. Has anybody done what I've done? You walked up too fast and you wondered if it's going to open? Has there anybody that's literally run into the door before it's open? I mean, I've done that. It's an intellect thing, I think. But seriously, it's just one of those. I love that. And then when you're in the airport, can I really be honest? I am super thankful for motion sensored when I go into the restroom. All right? I love motion sensored in the restroom. How many are thankful for motion sensored hand dryers? Oh, man. Does anybody remember the old kind of hand dryers where it was a cloth towel that you pulled down? And it was supposed to be clean as you pulled it down, but like everybody in the U.S. washed their hands on it. Do you remember that? They're still in like truck stops around the country. But seriously, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when I walk up to the sink and I wave my hand, the water turns on. I don't have to touch anything. I haven't figured out the soap thing yet, though. I don't know if anybody's like me. I wave my hand under the soap, nothing happens. I pull it away and soap comes out. So I see that happen to you. So that's part of motion sensor. Not, this doesn't apply to the airport, but some of you remember 17, 20 years ago, I had LASIK eye surgery done. And so LASIK was an upgraded surgery from the old eye surgery called RK, where they improved your vision. And LASIK came on the scene, and I'm telling you, it was an incredible upgrade. And I had LASIK done, and I still have the benefit to this day. So I am so, so thankful for all the different upgrades. So let me ask you this question. It'll be up on the screen. I want you to finish this thought. I am most thankful for. I am most thankful for. And I want you to grab your phone, your iPad, something to write on or something like that. And throughout this message, I believe God's going to speak to our hearts about different things. And this question, I am most thankful for, will kind of spur our minds a little bit to where we're going to go at the end of the message and get us ready for some application that I'm going to ask all of us to do in all of our services. If you're watching online, I'm going to encourage you to do it. So it's going to be really helpful. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Look at this. It says, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. One more time. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God, our Father. Can I pause right here and say that verse should rock us, should humble us a little bit, shouldn't it? The world would tell us that verse isn't true. Culture would say not true. Culture would say if you find yourself in a season of blessing or success or things are going pretty well, culture would say, I've done it. I've worked really hard. I've poured into this. I've built. I've worked. I've achieved it. That's what culture would say. And even if we have worked really hard, the book of James says, God says, we need to understand something about gratitude. Everything good in our lives literally comes from God to us. Amen? God uses different things, different people, all that kind of stuff. Maybe even use our intellect, our skill set. But ultimately, where's the source? The source is God. And so as we look at this topic of gratitude, we've got to lay that foundation that everything good comes down to us from God, our Father. A couple of years ago, Jane and I were getting ready to lead a global trip. It was probably about 4 years ago. And it was a fall trip. I remember that about it. And sometimes in the fall, before we're going to go on this missions trip, we call them global teams. And before we were going to go on that, it was fall season. And once in a while, Jane and I will do something called the Parade of Homes. And some of you have done that, and you go around, it's in the fall, and you look at new homes that are being built and stuff like that. And how many know when you do Parade of Homes, you always look at homes nicer than yours, don't you? True. Come on, everyone. It's true. And always, you always go to the homes, the Parade of Homes, with the idea of we're just going to get ideas, right? We're just going to see colors and stuff like that, right? And that's kind of what, but here's what happens to me. When I go to Parade of Homes, I get jealous, all right? And here's what I think. I think our home's not very nice. Our home needs that upgrade, needs that upgrade. Our home needs this. As a matter of fact, we need a new home is kind of what I'm thinking by the time I'm done with Parade of Homes. I just remember distinctly about a week later, we went overseas on this global trip. And they always change your life in such a special way. And we went to a pretty difficult country where the existence and the living conditions were really, really rough. And I remember being in that country and homes were tiny, open-aired at times, sometimes no roofs, and people lived just such a minimal existence and there just wasn't much there. And we had 10 amazing days in this nation. We flew home. Some friends picked us up at the airport. It was the evening. And I remember we'd been at Parade of Homes just 2 weeks earlier. Picked us up at the airport, drove home, and we pulled up to my house. And this is what I thought. Look at that mansion. Look at that mansion. And we went inside, unpacked a little bit. I took a hot shower. And then we laid down, Jane and I, in our king-size bed and went to sleep. And I thought, our house is amazing. Isn't it amazing how powerful perspective is? Isn't it amazing how powerful perspective is? And we look at this idea of gratitude, and God, Jesus, is going to share something with us about how huge perspective is. So I want to give you a couple quick things, and then we're going to dive into an amazing scriptural moment that we just got to experience together. So this will be up on the screen, and I got to share them pretty quick. So definition of gratitude. It's a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. A readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. That's the definition of gratitude. Readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. I know some of you are jotting it down. You got to go on to the next one. Definition of thankfulness. Expressing thanks and being conscious of a benefit received. Expressing thanks and being conscious of a benefit received. I mean, notice the action words in both those definitions. So, so important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Look at this passage. I'm going to read it slow with intentionality. It's a short passage, but literally we got to see every word in this because it's so strong. The Apostle Paul says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So for all of us this weekend that say, I belong to Jesus, I am a Christian, I am a Christ follower, for any that are exploring Christianity, thinking this is kind of the next step I want to take in my faith journey, I want us to see that the Bible tells us the will of God for every one of our lives is to be grateful or thankful in every circumstance. So I want to ask us two quick questions. Is that even possible? Is it even possible to be thankful or grateful in every circumstance? Just to probe our minds a little bit. Is that even possible? And since it's in the Bible, let's just go with yes, okay? Should we do that? Since we're in church, okay? Let's go with yes, it's possible. And then the second question is, why is God directing us to do that? Why is that our instruction? Why is our instruction to be thankful or grateful in every circumstance? So there's something here that Jesus is teaching and that we're going to pick up on in just a few moments, where gratitude is not about circumstance. Gratitude is not about place of life. Gratitude is not about things that we have in our life, because we all have different moments, different seasons, whether you're in a season of challenge right now hearing this message or a season of great blessing, because we all have those different seasons in our life, don't we? We do. So, but Jesus is saying there's something about gratitude that's not about circumstance. It's bigger, it's more important, it's significant, and we get to own this and see it. So I'm going to ask you two more quick questions. What does gratitude produce or set in motion in our lives? What does gratitude produce or set in motion in our lives? This question could be its own message, because I think there's so much to it. I know for me, as I'm learning to get better at it, I got room to grow. I know that gratitude produces in me a generosity. It produces in me joy. It produces in me unity with other people. It produces in me a willingness to forgive people. Because how many know when you're grateful for what God has forgiven you of, you're willing to let go and forgive others, aren't you? So there's just something about what it produces. And then one more question. I love this one. Just to get us thinking. Does God need our gratitude, or is it that we need to express our gratitude? That could be a tricky question. Does God need our gratitude, or is this command to us because you and I, we need to express our gratitude? I love that. I'm going to have a word up on the screen in just a moment. And can I tell you, it's one of the most ugliest words in the English language. Let's look at it together. The word is ungrateful. Just look at it. It's just ugly to look at and say, isn't it? Ungrateful. I mean, how many want that on your tombstone as your legacy, right? Right? Oh, he's really, isn't that great? I mean, nobody wants to be known as ungrateful, do we? I'm learning something in this teaching on gratitude, that ungratefulness is pretty easy to notice in other people and really hard to see in yourselves or see in ourselves. It is. It's really easy to point at other people and say, oh, they're ungrateful, oh, they act entitled or something like that. And it's really difficult to see when we're doing it in our own lives. And I've been challenged by that. So I've been applying one of the dangerous prayers this week, getting ready for this message. I'm saying, God, please speak to me. Because I don't want to be that ungrateful person. So here we go. Luke 17, verses 11 through 18. It's just a great passage of scripture. It's an event. It's a historical event. Again, you'll often hear me say it's sometimes when it's not a parable, it's not just a story. Those are great as well. This was an actual moment in history that Jesus had. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Watch this. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Let me set the stage a little bit of what happened here. So Jesus is coming into this village. Anytime at this point when he would enter a village, he was fairly well known. Crowds would gather and follow him. His disciples are with him. And these lepers, 10 of them, that had this disease that was just amazing, required them to keep a distance of 30, 50 plus yards away from people that were unaffected. They saw that Jesus was coming. The lepers figured this was our chance to get our shot at the God that can heal. And they shouted out, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us. So they're a little ways away. There's this shouting kind of going back and forth. Everybody's watching and seeing what's happened. And here's what Jesus does. It's really cool. Jesus looks them over, the Bible says, and then says, go show yourself to the priests. And the Bible says, we just read it, as they went on their way, they were healed. Isn't that cool? It's a healing that's kind of outside the box, isn't it? Jesus didn't lay hands on anyone. Jesus didn't pray for them at all. They didn't get in a circle and grab hands, did they? They, as they walked out the obedience that God gave them, they were healed. It's just a real cool thing, a cool side note. Can I tell you, isn't it good to know our God's not in a box, right? Our God can heal, can do miracles, can move any way he wants to move. It's just, it's so, so incredible. And here's what takes place. So they're at a distance and they go on their way. All 10 of them are healed. We don't know exactly how far away they are. Most Bible scholars believe they're less than about a football field away. One of them, one of the 10, they're all healed. One of them turns back, comes back, falls at the feet of Jesus, shouting, the Bible says, so everybody can hear, praise God. Thank you for healing me. I love you so much. And he's praising God. And then here's a key moment. Watch the drama of this moment. Jesus says, first words out of his mouth, hey, where's the other 9? Where's the other 9? His first statement was, bless you, young man. I'm so glad you're healed. That's already happened. His first words out of his mouth are, Hey, didn't I heal 10 people? Where's the other 9? So I'm going to give you 3 practical takeaways that I'm wrestling with in my own life that are straight from this passage of scripture that I think just help us. And this is the challenge point of gratitude of this weekend's message. So here we go. 3 takeaways. The first one is this. There's a big difference between enjoying God's blessings and being grateful for God's blessings. There is a big difference. And I'm learning it. I think we're learning it this weekend. There's a difference between enjoying God's blessings and being grateful for God's blessings. Jesus was just pointing that out. I mean, I'm sure the other 9 lepers that were healed were loving life, right? I'm sure they were enjoying the healing that they had just experienced. But we just got to see that there's a difference between enjoying God's blessings and being grateful. So let's build on that. The second takeaway is God's blessings can be appreciated, and they can be underappreciated. God's blessings in our lives can be appreciated, and they can be underappreciated. So again, I'm praying, Lord, are there blessings that you have placed in my life that I'm underappreciating, that I'm ungrateful for? Because I don't want to be. So Lord, speak to our hearts about that. And the last 3rd takeaway, this is, you just can't miss this because it's so important. Jesus was really the core of what he was communicating. Unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. Did you hear that? Because it's strong. Unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. Jesus is teaching us there's something about voicing it. There's something about thinking and saying it to people. There's something about it. Again, I'm sure the other nine were excited and thrilled and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus is like, there's something about voicing gratitude. And here's what he draws. He draws this clear distinction and says, we got to voice it to the source. We got to voice it to the source, the one that blessed us, the one that healed us. It's so important. I mean, those other nine might have told the priest, Jesus is amazing. Jesus is great. I am healed. But they didn't close the loop and come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, thank you. So we gotta voice it to the source. I mean, men, those of us that are married, how many of you know it's not enough to just tell everybody at work how great your wife is? You gotta tell her once in a while, right? Yeah. Amen. That was free, guys. So there you go. It's just true. Ladies, send them. You gotta encourage one another. You gotta build one another up. There's something about going and voicing it to the source, the one that did it for you. So we gotta grab a hold of that because it's so, so true. Psalms 103, here, this will lead us to kind of our application step. In verses 2 through 5, David was an incredible Old Testament leader, and this is one of his psalms. Let's look at it together. He says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I, look at it, never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Church, I want us to see something because David was amazing and left us an incredible example. He says, may I never forget the good things God has done for me. May I never forget it. And then he goes on and he lists, he creates a gratitude list. He says, I am grateful because God has forgiven my sins. He has healed my diseases. He has renewed my strength. He has crowned me with glory. He has given me blessings. And he begins to list six different things that God did. So he voices it back. He voices it out loud. So may I never forget and may I voice and list the things I'm grateful to God for. So this weekend at River Valley, for everybody at the Apple Valley campus, if you're watching online, I'm going to ask you to create a gratitude list. I'm going to ask you this week, I'd encourage you to do it this afternoon or tonight or this weekend or going in, and I'm going to ask you to integrate it into your soap, but I'm going to ask you to create a gratitude list. It can start small and then it will grow. Just to list the things that you are grateful for. I've had a little time to prepare it, so what I feel led to do is I'm going to share with you an example, and I'm just going to give you my gratitude list, okay? And I'm going to share my gratitude list with you, and I need to give you a couple disclaimers, okay? This list is a partial list. Okay? Everybody know what partial means? Right? So there are spiritual things on here and there are natural things on here. So it's partial. Don't email me saying you forgot this spiritual thing. Don't do that. Okay? I love all those spiritual things. All right? And there's some really cool spiritual things on here. So I just need you to know partial list and it's growing. Okay, here we go. Here's my gratitude list. There are enough disclaimers. I am grateful for forgiveness and salvation. And I never want to stop being grateful for the salvation God gave me years ago and the forgiveness I continue to need in my life. And we all do, don't we? I am grateful for forgiveness and salvation. I am grateful pretty much every time I see my paycheck. I used to do ministry for free, and for the last 25 years, I get paid to do it. And I literally feel, wow, how blessed am I that my career is to get to help build God's church. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful for it. Wow, love it. When I think about my wife, Jane, who's been married, we've been married 26 years, I am so grateful. Baby, I am grateful for you. And you still look amazing. Oh, amen. Come on. Yeah, I'm going to leave it right there. But anyways, it's true. All right. I'm grateful for my three daughters. Oh, all three of my daughters are so special. I'm grateful for my son-in-law. I have one son-in-law, Paul. He's just an amazing young man of God. And I'm super grateful for my new three-month-old first granddaughter. Can I tell you that? I mean, come on. Look at that. She's actually praying. Look at her hands. She is a young woman of God. Look at that. And she's actually thinking about her grandfather right now. We should just look for 10 minutes. Let's do that together. Oh, so blessed. So blessed. I'm thankful and I'm grateful for the unity I feel when I'm with all the pastoral staff of River Valley Church. We have a staff that's so unified, so connected, So I just love it. I'm thankful. I'm grateful for the unity from Pastor Rob all the way down through the team. I'm grateful for a healthy, strong elder leadership board at our church. I help consult and coach other executive pastors around the country, and I learn from others as well. But can I tell you, it's not every church that is as healthy as River Valley is. We give the glory to God, but I'm so grateful for a healthy, strong elder leadership board. I just am. I'm grateful for God's presence in my life. I'm so thankful that he lets me feel him and not just know him. Because I need to feel him and not just have the head knowledge thing going. Guys, we need to feel him. Ladies, we need to feel his presence. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I get to lead teams of people around the world sharing God's love. I mean, I get to lead like 2 global trips a year. In just a few months, I get to lead Global Team Indonesia. And then in February, in the middle of winter, I get to lead Global Team Cuba. And it's just, I can tell you how great it is to go around the world as part of your life to share God's message with people, and you get to lead teams to do it. I'm going to tell you, I'm so blessed in that way. Another thing, I'm grateful for lessons learned in past seasons of challenge. I'm grateful, and I wrote down past. God, I'm not asking for more, so I wrote that down. But how many know we all have seasons of challenge, don't we? We all walk through those things. And our God's so amazing. He's so faithful. I gotta keep going. I'm grateful for God's peace. I need God's peace in my life. He's given me his peace, and I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for God's sovereignty. Sovereignty means simply God is in control, I am not. Did you know you're not in control? Amen? There's a mirror right here. I'm talking to myself too. We're not in control, and it's good. God is in control, and he loves us. What an amazing love. Here's a practical one, but it's so true. I am grateful for steak, crab legs, and Diet Coke. I am. All in one meal, preferably, but I am. Seriously, and I think it's going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, so good. Just love it. I'm grateful, 2 more things, for key mentors in my life. There's been some amazing mentors that have come alongside me over the years and spoken into my life and helped me rub off some rough edges and have spoken wisdom over me, and there's still some in my life doing that, and I am grateful for key mentors in my life. And lastly, I'm just really grateful for some key Christian friends that God has given me. I mean, I have some key Christian friends. Our elders are key friends. There's some men in the church that are my key Christian friends. Pastor Rob and I, we've been friends for over 32 years. And I'm grateful that God has given me those people in my life. So that's my list. What's yours? What's yours? I'm going to ask you to begin it. This isn't just for the person next to you. It's for you. I'm going to ask you to give it and watch it build over the next week, and you're going to feel set free. You're going to feel joy. You're going to feel generosity. You're going to feel gratefulness. Even if you're in one of those tough places and tough seasons right now, you begin to see all the things God is to you, and you close the loop. How many of you want to be a returner, right? You want to be like that one leper that comes back, don't you? I do. I don't want to be like the 9. I want to be a returner that comes back and says, thank you, Jesus, for this. And so I'm going to encourage you over the next few days to create a gratitude list, incorporate it, and let's voice it. Let's voice it to the source, right? I want to get better than that. I'm better at that. Let's get better at that together. Let's voice it to the source. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read one more passage of scripture in verses 6 through 7. The Apostle Paul's teaching here, and it's amazing. As I read this verse, I want you to see it and lean into it. I want you to see where the Apostle Paul is saying, do this, do this, do this. And he kind of gives us an order of things. It's almost a step-by-step instruction. And I want you to see every word because it's so amazing as we get ready to do our gratitude list and come back and voice it to the source and be a grateful people. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. How many like that beginning right there? I love that. It's a command. Don't worry about anything. Some of you need to hear that today. Don't worry. Don't worry. Instead, do this. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and what? Thank him for all that he has done. I was rocked by that scripture, but then I read the word all. How many know that could take a while, couldn't it? So don't ever tell me I run out of things to pray about. You should never run out. I mean, the list is long. All that God has done, then you will experience God's presence. God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. So our prayer, our desire as we get ready to act this week, as we get ready to begin this, as we say, I'm not going to blow this exercise off. I'm going to do it. I'm going to apply it in my life. Our prayer is, God, open our eyes to see how amazing you are to us and to never stop coming back to you saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then help that open the door so other people can see the love of Christ in each and every one of us so that we could be grateful people that honor God every step of the way. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this message. Thank you that you've challenged me. You've challenged us. You're taking us to new places. You're doing so many great things in our church, so many great things in our lives. And we just want to deflect the glory to you and say we are grateful and thankful that we get to be on this journey. Lord, there's some here this weekend, maybe some that are watching online, that find themselves in a season of challenge or season of difficulty. They don't feel a lot of blessing. But even in those moments, we can look and say, God's love in my life. God's forgiveness in my life. I am so grateful for that. And here's what I know. Even if we find ourselves in a season of change or a season of difficulty or a season of challenge, you will bring us through to a new season when the timing is right. So God, our desire, our prayers, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Because we're going to be generous, joyful, unified, forgiving people that believe and see that God is at work in our midst and the best is yet to come. So God, we pray, open our eyes. We are grateful to you for all that you've done. Like James says, everything in our life that's good has come from you. And so we just say it one more time. God, we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody said, amen. Amen.